In the coming years, lawyers are going to fight some of their most lucrative cases over AI and copyright. The opening battles have already started, with the New York Times taking on OpenAI, and now the RIAA taking on AI companies specializing in music, both plaintiffs claiming that the AI companies are built on materials they have no right to use. But as Jennifer Walsh, who most certainly has data in the game, sees it, the corporations and their lawyers might be missing some crucial shifts in culture.
Recently, the Recording Industries Association of America initiated legal proceedings against two AI music companies called Suno and Udio, accusing both of massive copyright infringement. The RIAA spearheaded the case, but they weren't alone. The largest labels in America, including Universal Music Group, Sony, Atlantic, and Warner, are all co-plaintiffs. The major complaint in the case is over the datasets that Suno and Udio train their networks on. The RIAA make their viewpoint extremely clear in the lawsuit. Suno and Udio have created datasets consisting of copyrighted recorded music without asking permission or compensating any of the musicians or labels involved. Suno and Udio both work very similarly. The user types a simple prompt into a context window, for example, up-tempo EDM track about falling in love, and the system uses AI to churn out a track. Both systems can write lyrics, or the user can supply their own. Neither company has ever disclosed publicly what training data they use, and Udio in particular will flag any prompt reference to a real artist as impermissible, yet it's very easy to get both platforms to generate tracks which sound like pre-existing music. The lawsuit gives the example of Prancing Queen, an ABBA sound-alike track generated in Suno. I myself have easily generated many tracks which sound extremely similar to artists such as Joy Division, Sun Ra, and Kraftwerk. What's curious to me, though, is that right now the most enthusiastic use of these platforms falls into a category which, from a legal perspective, is somewhat protected. That's because the most popular outputs are comedy songs and memes. YouTube is full of examples of these songs, parodies of 1980s corporate rock, of Chuck Berry, earnest 1960s folk. The most viral output Udio has produced to date, though, is a song called BBL Drizzy. BBL Drizzy was generated by comedian King Willonius. The title and lyrics refer to claims that Canadian rapper Drake had a Brazilian butt lift. I'm not going to get into that here, just feel free to Google it on your own time. King Willonius' song had moderate success when it was released in April, but shot to fame when, in the midst of the Kendrick Lamar-Drake diss battle, producer Metro Boomin sampled BBL Drizzy without permission to create what he referred to as a diss track beat. Metro Boomin then released his version called BBL Drizzy BPM 150 and offered $10,000 to the best person to freestyle over it. Millions of plays and viral fame ensued, with people not only rapping over it, but also remixing the track in a wide variety of genres. BBL Drizzy isn't so much a track as an AI-powered activity that people engage in order to interact with different rap fandoms and the real-world feud at their center. Where in this chain of sampling and remixing does ownership of the fixed text reside? BBL Drizzy makes it clear people will use AI to generate material, sure, but then humans will get enthusiastically involved in shaping and reshaping that material. That today, as far as many listeners are concerned, a song can and even should be freely reworked, responding and reacting to other versions of itself. I'm a musician, and my music has been recorded, and there's no doubt that it's part of the huge datasets that Udio and Suno train their networks on. I have a stake in the outcome of the lawsuit because, like all musicians, I would like to be compensated for my work. But I also think the lawsuit fails to realistically look at how people use music now, at what music has become, at what people expect to be able to do with it. Because that has nothing to do with the idea of copyright. It's about money and fame, sure, but copyright seems to matter less than clicks, than the ability of a song to shapeshift across the timeline into remixes and memes, maintaining its virality by any means possible.
Jennifer Walsh there with her latest Things Know Things. And don't forget to consume all previous things on the Culturefile podcast feed or the Lyric site.